Redline.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and its weekend program, Redline, with me, Julia Lubova.
And Sergei Strokhin.
And this is what we have for you today. Russia-Turkey, a new tandem in Eurasia. Russia's President Vladimir Putin paid a high-profile visit to Ankara to reinforce two countries' fast-growing business ties, which have already made Turkey Russia's second-largest trading partner after Germany. Despite a shared disagreement on Syria, Ankara refused to join Western sanctions against Moscow in a sign that both nations are ready to withstand outside pressure. From chokehold to Ferguson, Obama's crash test. President Obama is struggling to ease communal urban unrest by initiating steps to streamline the police system in the aftermath of the Ferguson tragedy. Simmering distrust between police departments and communities of color comes as the critical test for the first Afro-American president in the U.S. history, who was initially seen as a leader to end America's centuries-long history of racial profiling. And also, Hosni Mubarak, does Pharaoh need to be pardoned? The Egyptian court's decision to acquit former President Hosni Mubarak on murder charges was followed by massive angry protests threatening the biggest Middle Eastern nation with a fresh unrest. Egyptians are deeply split on the legacy of their former leader, who initially received a life sentence for allegedly murdering hundreds of protesters in 2011. So let us come to our first section beyond the headlines to address President Putin's visit to Ankara, which came on the heels of Pope Francis' trip to Turkey. While the Pope was sending his message of dialogue between religions, President Putin's visit was heavily centered on geopolitics and interstate business ties. While what made headlines was Vladimir Putin's announcement, Russia is withdrawing from the South Stream project, but that was not the only news.
Well, Julia, really Turkey was very much in news this week because really President Putin's visit to Ankara came on the heel of Pope's trip to Turkey. So that was another opportunity just to look on Turkey as a newly emerging center of geopolitical power in the region. And in addition to that, obviously, there's more than one reason to speak about Turkey. And the reason is not only that we've seen this week quite a dramatic decision on the South Stream pipeline. And President Putin made fairly important statement declaring that the resources will be directed towards upgrading gas pipelines, infrastructure, which are linking Russia to Turkey. This is one thing. But apart from that, what was probably not very much discussed, the role of Russia and Turkey in the region, and to what extent, really, you may call it duo or tandem. Probably someone will say that this is not new partnership. But still, what's the role of two countries which, to some extent, find themselves in one boat, in the same boat, because of the Western sanctions and because of their troubled relations with the West?
Absolutely. Well, let's put some questions to our first guest, Evgeny Satanovsky, president of the Institute of the Middle East, who joined us in our studio in Moscow. Thank you very much for coming.
Pleasure.
Well, the two countries, Russia and Turkey, given their disagreement on Syria, is this a likely partnership, in your opinion, between the two?
First of all, as Kondrai say, we have agreement about disagreement in the Syrian question. We know the position of Erdogan. Erdogan knows the position of Putin. They can be partners without the full agreement in all aspects. And that's excellent example of how it really must work if there are some pragmatic interests which are good for both countries. As a result, countries must work under positive rather than the negative, as we have now from Washington, D.C. and Brass.
Mr. Satanovsky, during this visit, there was quite an important statement made, which can be summarized as Turkey remains a partner of choice for Russia. Can you spell it out, please? What does it mean, partner of choice? In terms of the Western sanctions which are imposed on Russia and in terms of troubled relations between Ankara and European Union. Can you explain that, please?
No, and what so? So many centuries,
how
practically
you, how
four
you understand
centuries.
That partnership of choice?
Well, partnership of choice means that Turkish side will use all the options which they will have with this partnership. We too. If there are no Western companies on the Russian market, including Crimea, Turkey will be there. If Europe do not need the South Stream, Turkey will take the Russian gas. And I think that Erdogan will be absolutely happy on looking at the formal Turkish provincial areas, Greece, Bulgaria, some other Balkan countries, when on his territory he he will trade the Russian gas for them. If they do not need direct pipeline, why not? Turkey used this opportunity. And with this disagreement and so on, for centuries, Turkey, Turkish Empire, Ottoman Empire, was our major enemy on the Black Sea. Sinop, Chesma, Plevna, so on. This time's finished.
Yeah, there that's what I'm saying. Now we have new realities of the 21st century.
Turkey is a country of Northern Atlantic Alliance. It's a member of Northern Atlantic Alliance, and Turkey have the second army in NATO after United States of America. It does not mean that Erdogan must shoot in his leg, as on the Middle East usual people say. That's not mean that the Turkish interests are American interests, or President Obama can command him. And that's also interesting example. More than this visit was very symbolic, because Erdogan was not so far from elected as a president. That was unique. He was prime minister, then his time's finished, and he was elected as a president with changing the constitution, with stopping all the options for the army to put hand on the political process, with this or that things in his battle with radical Islamist of Fethullah Gulen. The first visit to Turkey, the visit which practically blessed him on being a new Ottoman sultan, was a visit of Pope. And the second visit, the first visit of leader of state as a guest of him, was a visit of a Russian president. Very symbolic.
One brief question. Is it a coincidence that President Putin's visit to Turkey came on the heels of Pope's trip to Turkey?
I think that was part of Erdogan's strategy. That was message to his Western partners. Message, because he understands that Turkey never will be part of big Europe, member of European Union. This story with association with Europe, which only started in Ukraine for Turkey, takes 50 years or more. But that's a signal to his Western partners. Turkey came back to the 17th century, as the whole world, when the role of West was quite smaller than now, but the role of Japan, China, Persia, Turkey was much bigger. So his strategy is this. He comes back to the good old time based on the new economy, new and old partners, and absolutely ruined the system when Turkey was not more than some instrument of American policy on the Middle East.
Red Line.
Let's now go to Pavel Shlikov, Associate Professor at the Institute of Asian and African Studies at the Moscow State University. Mr. Shlikov, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
This relationship, this new tandem between Russia and Turkey in Eurasia, what likely effects will it have on Turkey's ambitions with the European Union, in your opinion?
Well, actually, European Union is a trade partner number one of Turkey. Turkey now has so long-awaited 100 billion of turnover, more than 100 billion of turnover with the European Union as a whole, and just, I think, that when current Prime Minister Davutoglu in August said that a European Union for the near future would be, again, one of the most important trade partner, one of the most important partner for Turkey. And I think that both Erdogan and Davutoglu didn't change their view of European Union. Of course, these steps for both Russia and Turkey will affect the relationship between Turkey and European Union. But I think this won't spoil them.
Turkey is now Russia's second largest trading partner after Germany. And Russia has been looking eastwards since its deteriorating relations with the EU and US. So could Turkey be this bridge between sort of West and East for Russia?
Well, I think, first of all, Turkey has its own interests in relationship with Russia and this new project of pipeline across the Black Sea. And I think that, first of all, we can see in this project, in this initiative, another signal that Turkey is still wanting to be a leader of vice region of Greater Middle East, first of all. And it's not relation between Turkey and European Union, but first of all, it's an issue of Turkey positioning in the Greater Middle East.
And one of the major announcements in Ankara that Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, made was that, of course, Russia is withdrawing from the South Stream project. Who, in your opinion, are the winners and the losers of this announcement?
Well, I think that Russia is one of the sides which will lose a lot after this decision, because we know about large investment that has been already done, and Gazprom won't be able to recover this investment, and it's about $4 billion. And, of course, it's a loss of image, because it was a great geopolitical project of the Russian president, and he gave up this project. From the point of image, international image, it's a blow to Russia, of course. But still, we can see that it's also a blow to the European Union, to certain countries, or the European Union, Bulgaria, Serbia, and so on. But still, it's difficult to say who is only the winner or who will lose after they giving up this project. Red
line. And in terms of what this visit meant for Russia, obviously, Vladimir Putin has made some new deals there, especially business interest. He spoke of business interests there as well as geopolitics. So just how much did this visit mean for Russia?
Well, actually, it's very important. It's maybe as important as the visit of Russian president to Turkey in early 2000s. We can see in recent years that bilateral relations of Russia and Turkey have been characterized for the last years by the limits of growth problem. And these relations required qualitative broadening of the established model of cooperation. And we can see that these events of the early December 2014, the new stage of Turkish-Russian relation, and both of Turkey's struggle for influence in the vast region of the Greater Middle East. We can see that they proclaimed 5 years earlier the aim of $100 billion of bilateral trade turnover. Both Russia and Turkey failed to reach during these years, and 32-35 became a limit. And now, after the Akkuyu project, after this announced new project of pipeline across the Black Sea, we can wait that this limit of $100 billion has become more reachable for Turkey and for Russia, and it's very important. Regarding political relations and political dimensions of Turkish-Russian relations, it's difficult to say that now there is a breakthrough, because during negotiations in December, in early December this year, within this high-level cooperation council, didn't see that there was any step forward in solving the problem of diametrical opposing positions on such acute problems like civil war in Syria, crisis over Ukraine, Cyprus, and so on and so forth. And it's also important that in recent year, the number of such acute questions on which Turkey and Russia have diametrical opposing position is rising. It's not a very good tendency.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Pavel Shlikov, Associate Professor at the Institute of Asian and African Studies at the Moscow State University. Thank you very much to our guest in our studio, Yevgeny Sotanovsky, President of the Institute of the Middle East. And so to come on our program, from chokehold to Ferguson, Obama's crush test. President Obama is struggling to ease communal urban unrest by initiating steps to streamline the police system in the aftermath of the Ferguson tragedy. Simmering distrust between police departments and communities of color comes as a critical test for the first Afro-American president in the U.S. history, who was initially seen as a leader to end America's centuries-long history of racial profiling. And also, Hosni Mubarak, does Farawa need to be pardoned? The Egyptian court's decision to acquit former President Hosni Mubarak on murder charges was followed by massive angry protests threatening the biggest Middle East nation with fresh unrest. Egyptians are deeply split on the legacy of their former leader, who initially received a life sentence for allegedly murdering hundreds of protesters in 2011. Stay with us.